I do remember a pastor saying to me once, Kirk, I wanna make sure that you understand something. You did not find the Lord in Hollywood. He wasn't lost.
Yes.
You were, and He found you. Mm. And I think that's exactly right. I didn't find the Lord. I was an atheist. I wasn't even looking for Him. The Lord found me.
Welcome to Conversations from Studio 5. That was actor, speaker, and author Kirk Cameron. You may remember him as Mike Seaver on the hit show Growing Pains and starring in numerous films. We had a conversation with him, and he talks about his new children's book, The Fox, the Fair, and the Invention Scare.
First, let's talk about family. How are you, wife and six kids?
Yeah, we're doing really well. Yeah, my wife and I, we've been married now for 32 years, and
32.
We have six adult children.
Yes.
So our kids are 26, 25, 24, 23, 22, and 21.
So now that they're all grown, is that what's motivating this push to reach children?
I think that has a lot to do with it, but I've really been concerned about the world that our kids have been growing up in ever since we had kids 20 years ago. Mm. I made a documentary called Monumental, where I retraced the escape route of the pilgrims from England to Holland, and then over here to North America, to understand the values that made this the freest, most generous, and blessed nation in the world. And figure out how do we get back to that. Mm. And as we continue to drift and slide away from those values that bring blessing and liberty and protection, I think we're approaching a point of no return. And so I want to lean in as much as I can to producing material that helps parents and grandparents raise their kids in the way that they should go. Mm. So that's children's books, reading them in public libraries. It's a new television program. And we can talk about any of those if you'd like.
Yeah, let's begin talking about the book. What inspired this new children's book?
So about a year ago, I wrote a book about the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And I wanted to read it in a public library, like a story hour.
Yeah.
Like so many other groups of people were doing. But I was denied by over 50 woke libraries that had previously held drag queen story hours because of my Christian faith. And we challenged that. Reminded them that this is the United States of America and religious viewpoint discrimination is a violation of our Constitution. Mm-hmm. And so they changed course. We went and were greeted by thousands of parents and grandparents who wanted to hear books about these kinds of values. They don't want to go the way that's going to lead toward Marxism and the loss of our liberties and values. And that led to more libraries and then challenging Scholastic Books, who is putting so much material into books to twist and to bend children's concepts of reality and family and identity and everything else. And now we are making a television show so that screen time can be redeemed for kids and families, and we can build their character while entertaining them in a way that parents can trust.
Nice. Want to get to the television show, but the book is called The Fox, the Fair, and the Invention Scare.
That's right. That's right. The Fox, the Fair, and the Invention Scare, and it's all about loving your enemies.
Mm.
You know, we turn on the television and or we look on our phones and we see so many people fighting. In fact, I think that there is an evil agenda behind the conflict culture, and with everybody fighting over religious differences, racial differences, economic differences, political differences, vaccination status differences, we're gonna tear each other apart. And that makes it easy for enemies then to come in to a weakened country and turn us into something that we wouldn't even recognize. Mm-hmm. So The Fox, the Fair, and the Invention Scare is about families that have been fighting for generations who finally understand that loving your enemies and helping one another is the best way forward. And it teaches kids that lesson with beautiful animation, a fun story, characters that they love. And there's games, challenges, and contests in the back of the book that make family time really exciting and underscore the values in the book.
Mm. Sounds like it's a lesson for adults to embrace as well.
I think it is. Yeah, we got to lead by example. And that's why I love reading kids' books. Kids' books aren't just for the kids.
No.
It helps to simplify important topics for adults. And then we need to live those out. So kids aren't just hearing about it in school or in a book, but they're watching their mom and dad. and they say, how do I love my enemies? Well, I know. I watched my dad do that once. Mm-hmm. I watched my mom do that once. And I know what to do. I just got to think of what my dad did.
Yeah, beautiful. So we have a television show as well. You're joined by a fellow actor.
Yep.
And a puppet, too. Tell me about the show.
Yeah. So we desperately need good children's programming. And we've got a brand new show coming out that I think is going to be groundbreaking. It's a live action half hour show for kids that incorporates timeless biblical moral values. Think of a Mr. Rogers Neighborhood in terms of the values, but highly modernized with animation, hilarious dialogue, and lots of energy. Mm-hmm. And there are other guest stars who are going to be joining us. And we've got a world-class puppeteer who's worked with Jim Henson and the Muppets on Sesame Street for decades, who made Iggy the Iguana. And that's my little sidekick.
Yeah.
And he lives in the treehouse in Mr. Kirk's backyard. And we go on adventures together in Freedom Island and teach kids all about important things like the sanctity of life, from the womb to the tomb, the fruit of the spirit, love, kindness, joy, faithfulness, self-control, and also warn about the dangers of things like socialism and other ideologies.
What's kept you in this business to be a man of faith and so outspoken as you are? Hollywood may not always be a comfortable place. What's made you stay and continue this work?
Well, staying in Hollywood, I think, is important because it's so powerful, it's so influential. That's why I appreciate what you are doing, is you are talking about culture and talking about the arts. Sometimes we think that all the decision makers are the people in the White House, they're the lawmakers, it's politics. However, there are cultural icons that are shaping the hearts and minds of people through their phones, through the music that they make, through the stories that they tell, the interviews that you do, or the movies that we make. And I think that being in Hollywood is where Christians need to be. That doesn't mean you need to move to California. We're in Virginia, but we need to be part of the entertainment industry, the news industry, and we need to not leave vacuums of leadership there for people with lesser ideas to come in and shape the culture. What I thought you were asking was, how do I stay committed to the Lord in Hollywood? And even though you didn't ask it, I guess I'd like to say,
I'd like to know.
It's the cross. When I think of how fast life goes, it really is like a vapor. The flowers, they spring up, they bloom, and they fade away. And like that, I'm 53 years old and my six kids are grown and out of the house. And like that, this, I'll be a part of history. And so I think what's really going to matter at the end is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When I look at the cross, that fills me with the fear of the Lord. God is serious about sin. The wrath of God poured out on his innocent son for my sin, for your sin, for the sin of my children and the world. The fear of the Lord makes me want to honor him and not play fast and loose with pride and greed and hatred and things like that. And then the cross fills me with a love for God and a love for my neighbor. He loved me so much, it was my sin that put him there, and yet he laid down his life for me. And so the love of the Lord, the fear of the Lord that I see at the cross is what keeps me wanting to live for an audience of one. Not trying to please the crowd, but to please God.
You found the Lord during your days of being on television and a hit television series. Looking back on that time, what do you remember most? What stands out? Of course, that's when we first fell in love with you, your character, the series.
Well, I met a pretty girl who met a famous atheist, as I was at that time on Growing Pains, and she took me to church, I heard the gospel, and that's what changed everything for me. So I became a Christian then, and it changed my life. It's been challenging, but it's been the best thing that's ever happened to me. You asked me when I found the Lord in Hollywood. I do remember a pastor saying to me once, "Kirk, I wanna make sure that you understand something. You did not find the Lord in Hollywood. He wasn't lost.
Yes.
You were, and mm-hmm. he found you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's exactly right. I didn't find the Lord. I was an atheist. I wasn't even looking for him. The Lord found me. I was like that lost sheep that was off wandering away somewhere, distracted by some shiny thing. And like a good shepherd, he came and found me, and he brought me back. And he made me his child. I'm so grateful.
And you didn't grow up with the knowledge of Christ at all?
No, I was an atheist, didn't go to church. I thought Jesus was part of a different trinity. The tooth fairy, the Easter bunny, and God. But that all changes when the Holy Spirit comes and opens your heart and you begin to ask questions like I did. And I got not only answers in my mind, but I got answers for my heart. And the Bible and the gospel began to speak for themselves.
If you could go back in time and give young Kirk some words of wisdom in light of all that you know now and what lies ahead of him, mm-hmm. what would you tell that little boy?
Oh, man. Go all out. Lean all in. Full send. Just don't hesitate. Mm-hmm. Love the Lord with all of your heart. You may think, oh, well, but this faith thing, I can't see God. How do I know if it's real? Listen, no matter what position you hold, you're going to hold it by faith. The atheist has no proof there is that God does not exist. The atheist has to hold his own position that God is nothing by faith. And the best decision that I ever made, now that I'm this far down the road, is to put my trust and to rely and depend on Jesus Christ, his resurrection power, the Spirit and the Word of God. They have served as my best guides and my best anchor.
You are a bright light. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, thank you for encouraging me, and thanks for letting us get the word out about these new projects and for all you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you.
What a great conversation. You can purchase Kirk's new children's book wherever you purchase your reading material. Thank you so much for joining us for this edition of Conversations from Studio 5 and making this your weekly destination for uplifting interviews in the world of lifestyle and entertainment with a strong focus on faith. I hope you'll join us next week. We're having a conversation with author Mondo de la Vega. For more information on the show, please be sure to check out our Facebook page. You can also find us on Instagram by searching Studio 5. We'll see you next week right here on the podcast.